Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Lord, we thank you that you are good and mighty and awesome, that you meet us here this morning, that you don't leave us as orphans. You fill our hearts. Bless us with our mothers, our wives, and our daughters. We seek to be able to bless you this morning, Lord. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I told you, I got some affirmation on my stories of the Super 88 last week. And so I'm going to continue on describing my daughter's car this week, mainly for Rebecca. But I'm figuring that you guys will all be blessed by that. And my daughter was actually, week before last, was headed up to visit my mother in Fresno. And I shared bits and pieces of this, but she had called me and said, "Hey, do you think I'm going to be able to make it all the way up to Fresno?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you know, I had replaced the ignition and everything in her car, the coil packs and the wires and the plugs and everything. It was running good. Car was running good." And I said, "Yeah, it's treating you good, right?" And she says, "Well, yeah, it is." And so I called her, and she was out of Bakersfield, maybe an hour out of Fresno. I said, "How's things going?" And she said, "Good. But there's this massive dust storm in Bakersfield. I have to send you some pictures of it." And I never did see the pictures, but anybody ever been through Bakersfield? There's some serious dust storms that can kick up down there. And, you know, sometimes that is a picture of our lives. Amen? That we are going through challenges and we are going through opportunities, and the storms of life come upon us and sometimes can overwhelm us. We're in a series called Purchase for Power, and is a focus on the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Last week we talked about being Pentecostal. Talk about Pentecostals have a focus on that presence of the Holy Spirit and His guidance in our lives. And so I have some questions for you today as we come to church on this Mother's Day. Is how far do you want to go with God? How much can you really trust God? And this relationship with the Holy Spirit and this presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, is this something that God wants you to pursue? And I want to let you know this morning, because I know many of you have been in this church for quite a long time, and some of you are brand new in this church, never been to a Mother's Day thing before, and we're happy that you're here. But that whatever you have in God, there's more. Can I get a witness on that? Whatever you have in God, there is more, but you have to press into it. You have to push into it. It's so easy to just stop. It's so easy to just rest. Happy Mother's Day again. We celebrate our mothers because our mothers are all out for us. Aren't you happy you got a mom? Did you send a card? I sent a card to my mom. Had to call her and let her know it was coming. And we celebrate our moms because our moms don't hold anything back for us. Our mothers will do anything for their children. Amen? We see that in the recognition that's from up at the stage today. But sometimes, perhaps in 2016, we become aware that sometimes a mother's love is not always enough. It was not enough for me. I was on a self-destruct course, and no amount of my mother's love was going to get me off that course. I required supernatural assistance. Maybe you come in here today and you're a mom and you've got situations that are a little bit out of control for you and you need some supernatural assistance. Well, you've come to the right place. Maybe you come in here and you're out of control and you need supernatural assistance and equipping. You've come to the right place. Message of today's sermon, power of the Spirit, we need to power up. Amen? Are we okay? I have to warn you that in the coming minutes, the scent of chicken enchilada can and possibly will come wafting through this sanctuary. And as it does, I need you to focus with all your power on me. Tommy's passing out tissues. They're not to cry on, they're to keep your nose stopped up from the smell of the enchiladas. All righty, let's go. All right. We're going to take a look at the rest of Luke chapter 11. Moving into the unknown, because as we talk about moving into God's plan for your life and what He has for you, many of us feel that hey, we got and I'm good with what I got. But Jesus would let us know that there is indeed more. Luke chapter 11, reading verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, I say to you, this is after His disciples asked Him to teach them how to pray. And so He's moving along in this same theme on how to talk to God. And He says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And what Jesus is letting us know is that there are indeed opportunities from heaven. That there is supernatural opportunities that Jesus makes available to us by asking His Father to send the Holy Spirit. And He is talking to His disciples about the heavenly opportunities that are available to them as He would be leaving. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are all in battles. Anybody fight any battles this week? The battle that we fight is not a natural battle, but a spiritual battle. That we have spiritual opposition, that we need spiritual aid and spiritual power to be able to overcome. Jesus is telling them, whatever you have in God, there's more. But press into it. It's not just going to come gift-wrapped to your door, like these flowers that were presented to these ladies, all you moms this morning, here you go. Some of them you're going to have to go after. And that is what Jesus is telling His disciples, that there is more than what you are aware of. Paul talks about asking. He says that we need to make our requests made known to God. Philippians chapter 4, 6. Jesus says, there's opportunities out there, opportunities that you can knock on, that they're available to you, that they will be open to you. Press into those things. But seeking, ask, knock, and seek. Seeking is a little bit different because you ask for things you know about. You knock on something that you can see. But when you seek, there's something that you're going after that's a little obscure. You don't really know where it is. You don't really know what it is. And Jesus said, you go looking and you're going to find. We serve an infinite God. Amen? Amen? And because He's infinite, there's more there than we can ever know. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, which we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. Now to him who is able to do, say infinitely with me, would you? Infinitely. That means more than you can see, more than you can touch. To him who's able to do infinitely more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us. He's saying, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, whatever you have in God, there's more, and you need to press into it. It's available to you. Go looking after those things that you are not yet aware exist that our Lord in heaven has prepared for us. Does that sound like a good plan? Does that sound like something we can do? My question for you this morning is, are you pushing in? Are you seeking that increase in your life with God? Or are you happy with where you're at? Whatever you've got, there's more. Ladies, whatever you've got, there's more. Amen? Let's continue going. We can ask with confidence. We can ask our Father in heaven to meet us. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We can ask God with confidence. Jesus is talking about fish and eggs. Two examples, and he's not telling his disciples that this is what you should ask your Father in heaven for. Fish and eggs. God will indeed provide fish and eggs. Mike Henson took a group of kids out with Georgia last Sunday after church, and indeed, the Lord supernaturally provided some fish for those children to catch. They had to work for it. Amen? But there's more. Jesus is not saying, no, God is about a whole lot more than fish. Mike said, every time I go out, I pray, Lord, send me fish. But God's about a whole lot more than fish. Jesus is talking about what we can ask for. Jesus is illustrating what we are familiar about asking for, the natural. And he's trying to point us and point his disciples into an arena in which we are less familiar with our requests, into the supernatural. Jesus is making a contrast between what you know and what you don't know. Jesus is making a contrast between your fathers that you know and your heavenly Father, which you can only imagine. Jesus is making a contrast between the natural and the supernatural. Because whatever you have in God, there's more. But you have to press in. Amen? I described to you my daughter's car and the work that I had done to it, replaced the ignition. And it was running good. And she said, Dad, what do you think? Can I make it all the way up to Grandma's house? And I said, well, how's it running? She said, well, it's running good. And it's like, okay, that's good. I think you're fine. And I wanted to call just to check on her. And she's talking about the AC, or talking about the dust storm. And I said, how's the AC treating you? Oh, no, Dad. This is blowing hot air. But the car's good, Dad. The car's fine. 90 degrees, dust storm, going to Fresno. Things are working good, Dad. And she's settling. And I was disappointed because there was more. And I think God looks at the church and he can be disappointed. Because there's more, but we don't push into it. And we're not asking, and we're not knocking, and we're not seeking. Let's keep going. Placing the plan. Now we're going to jump over to this church in Ephesus. We're going to spend the rest of our time today. And Paul begins to describe the place, the believer's place in the plan of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Bible says, in him we were also chosen. I want to let you know this morning that you were indeed chosen. Now I look at my notes, I see that I have to change my message this morning. You'll find out why in a moment. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. That's a rather complex statement there. I'll try and unwind it for you. In order that we, put your hand up if you're part of we. Oh yeah, everybody's part of we. We. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. God guides us into glory. He chooses you. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. And in this whole building, I was set to say, I know of only one person who was chosen. I have to change my notes. Because indeed, two young men were chosen by this lady right here. Elijah is a gift from God. But those two young men, this lady saw and fell in love with and chose them to be part of her family. Amen. And that is what God does with each of us. He says, I choose you. Amen. Julie said, I choose you, Cody, and I choose you, Anton, and you're going to be my boys. And God says to each one of us, I choose you, and you're going to be my son. And you're going to be my daughter. And you're going to be part of my family. Jesus said last week, I won't leave you as orphans. And God opens his heart and opens his life to us and welcomes to become part of his plan. And Paul describes to this church in Ephesus how big and awesome and mighty the plan of God is. And that he calls us into conformity, that we would line up on his plan. Well, if we are going to line up on his plan, that means we have to separate ourselves from our plans. Amen. Cody and Andon could no longer be part of their families and join Julie's family and Roki's family. We are called by God to become part of his family, and as we do that, we leave our earthly families behind, our earthly lives behind. Jesus says, I will make a transaction with you. I will give you new life. I will give you purpose. Paul tells the church in Ephesus that we are called to give glory to Jesus. And many of us, in fact, all of us, as we come to Jesus, our lives revolve about bringing our own selves glory. Right? Get what I'm saying here? That is our hope and our vision. You see a young man catches a football, runs for a touchdown, puts his finger up. Number one, I'm number one. God calls us out of that life. In fact, he says, 1 Peter chapter 1, 24, Apostle Peter says, all people are like grass, and their glory is like flowers. You ladies, my daughter had to dress up your flowers because some of them were furling at the edges, and she had to pull that off. And so Peter writes in this book, he says, their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. And as we come to the Lord in my life, I know that that was true, that I was working so hard for my glory and I was failing after failing after failing. And the Lord said, I love you, son. You're welcome to come into my family. You need to give up your attempts at your glory, and I will equip you and empower you to glorify my son. That's the plan of God. And I'm wondering, how are you doing this morning? How much effort did you put in this week to bring in glory to Jesus? Because as you grab on to the plan of God and begin to live your life with a focus on bringing glory to Jesus, the supernatural aid and the supernatural assistance that becomes available to you is unlimited. But it requires all that you have. Amen? All right, let me keep reading. Truth changes everything. He says, you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, again to the praise of his glory. Truth changes everything. The truth is your ticket into the plan of God. The truth is contained in the message of Jesus, where he says, I will give you new life if you give me your old life. I will give you my glory if you will surrender your desires for your own glory. We call this a covenant. It will be a contract. It will be a transaction between you and I. You lay down your old life, I will give you new life. And as we read here in Paul's letter to Ephesus, that new life needs to be targeted and focused on bringing glory to Jesus. If you open your day with a prayer that says, Lord, how can I bring you glory today? Show me opportunity. I will live to glorify you. That lines you up on the plan of God. That lines you up on the purpose of God for your life that day. And it lines you up on the power of the Holy Spirit that would come into your life. Paul says that entrance into the family God occurs when you believe the message of truth that Jesus brings. When you surrender your old life and grab onto that new life in him. And as you do that, as you say, Lord, I am so lost. Lord, my efforts at glorifying myself have failed time after time after time. I surrender it all, Lord. Give me your new life and I will live to glorify you. As you do that, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God guiding and directing you, as we talked about last week. And you are a brand new creature in Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. That is the deal. And if we grab on to that, as we grab on to the promises and the power of God, we are transformed and we become in the lives around us. Amen? Everything changes, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Whatever you have in God, there's more. Paul is describing it right here. He says, you got to press in. You got to push into that fullness. That fullness, that transformation is there because God has made it to happen. But many do not push in. And many do not live to glorify God. We can be like Leanne. Happily on our way to Fresno. Car running great, 90 degrees. You see, I replaced her ignition. It's a whole system. And I also completely replaced her air conditioning system. System is all charged, all ready to go. And she's happy as a pig in mud. Cruising down Highway 99, through a dust storm, windows wide open, 90 degrees, just blessed that her dad has set her up. All good, Dad, thanks. But she wasn't getting all that I had for her. And so many of us live our lives like that. We're not getting all that our dad has for us. Because whatever you got, there's, but you got to push in. All right. Book of Acts, but we're still going to be talking about Ephesus. Book of Ephesians written to the church at Ephesus. We're going to talk about the birth of the church of Ephesus here in Acts chapter 19. And talking about how believers are equipped for the life of God, the plan of God. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior, and arrived at Ephesus. You can take a look at one of your maps in the back of your Bible and see how that works out after church. And there he found some disciples and asked them, Acts chapter 19, we're, you know, two-thirds of the way through the book of Acts here. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard there's a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is, in Jesus. God doesn't want you working with less. Paul finds disciples in Ephesus. 12 guys. Not much going on there. Read of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, written to the church that was formed because of this meeting. Incredible power of the Holy Spirit. Transforming power of the Holy Spirit that they were missing out on. Incredible response of the message of Jesus in Ephesus. If you read in the rest of chapter 19, that there was great riots that occurred in Ephesus by the silversmiths who were involved in the crafting of idols. And the influx of the message of Christ and the turning away, the repentance and the finding of new life and the embracing of Jesus and turning away from buying these silver idols, they began to have their economy in tatters. They couldn't stand by it. And they had these revolts and this riot because the message of the cross was impacting their economy so greatly. I'll tell you what, wouldn't it be great if... You know how many liquor stores we got in City Heights between between 805 and 15? Then if all the bar owners and all of the liquor store owners started complaining to the police that so many people were getting saved, they couldn't sell any more booze. That is what happened. And it was because of the power of the Holy Spirit that came but had not yet happened yet. And that is why Paul showed up and said, did you receive the power? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Because it was the normal thing that happened in the early church. Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8 in Samaria. Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius' house. The baptism of the Holy Spirit equipped believers to have impact in the areas where they lived, in their homes, in schools. I don't know if they had schools. In their jobs. It changed their lives. And so Paul shows up in Ephesus, finds 12 believers and says, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said, we don't know what you're talking about. And Paul starts saying, well, John the Baptist, man, he had a great message, but he was only halfway home. He was only halfway there because his message was a message of repentance that you should turn away from your sin and prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And he says, you guys are working with less. There was more available to them in God, and they didn't even know it. Paul says, you got to push in. There's more there. They were missing out. God does not want you to attempt to glorify Jesus with an ill-equipped life. He says, I'm going to set you up. There's more. Push in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Are we okay?
Yes. Amen.
Finding the fullness of the plan. On hearing this, Acts 19, 5 through 7, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were 12 men in all. Pressing in to what God has. Paul brings the complete message of the gospel. The rest of the message. They believe and they are baptized. They receive. They make that transaction that I talked about a few minutes ago. They take their old lives and they put it down and they say, we want the new life that Jesus has for us. And as they believe, and because they believe, they are baptized in water. We baptize people here who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. In 2 weeks' time, I'll say 2 weeks, I could be off, May 29th, we're going to have water baptism right up here. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and have not been baptized, all the way down, all the way up, I invite you. It will be a refreshing dip. Steve knows. And aren't you lucky that you're not doing it at Christmas time? But yes, they baptized new believers in water because they had received Christ. They were also sealed with the Holy Spirit when they believed. We just talked about that back in Ephesians chapter 1. And so they are brand new creatures in Christ. They have taken the water baptism of John the Baptist and moved into the full baptism of Jesus Christ. But God is not done. See, there's so many of us who say, I'm there, I'm done, I got it. But Paul says, no, there is more. And he lays hands on them, and they are what is called baptized in the Holy Spirit. He comes upon them in power, and they prophesy, and they speak in tongues, and the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there is more, because there's this incredible revival that occurs in Ephesus as a result of the ministry of Paul that goes on in the lives of 12 men who now live their lives with a desire and focus on bringing glory to Jesus in their choices and their actions. And now they're able to ask and knock and seek the things that God has for them as they live to glorify Jesus. Amen. This is what happened in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2. Samaria, Acts chapter 8. Cornelius' house, Acts chapter 10. I invite you to read those chapters. 2, throw in 4. 4 is good. The whole book is good. I mean, the whole Bible. Read all of Acts. It's Pentecost, folks. Acts chapter 2. Next week, focus on Acts chapter 2. But 2, 8, 10, and 19 give you a nice little foundation for what we're going to be talking about. Paul prayed for them, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they speak in tongues and prophesy. This is what he was talking about when he arrived in Ephesus. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that supernaturally empowers the believer. And it is that message that many are missing in the church today. Whatever you have, in God there's more. But you have to push into it. I'll ask you those three questions again. How far do you want to go with God? How much can you trust God? And is this something that God wants you to pursue? Jesus says, push in. Apostle Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit and keep on being filled. Because whatever you have in God, there's more. But you have to press in. I'm not seeing David. You're going to play? Come on up here, Joe. Play nice and soft for me, would you, buddy? I don't know if he's ever done this before. It's nice to have a son. Can you get a witness on that?
Amen.
All right, just, I know my wife is going to say amen. I figured her mom would say amen, but I was looking a little bit more. It's nice to have a daughter, too. I was talking to her on the phone, and she's telling me, oh, it's okay, Dad, it's okay, Dad, it's okay. And I said, the AC's not working? And she said, yeah, Joe said it was working, but it's just blowing hot air. And I said, did you push the button? And she goes, what button? And I kid you not, it's like 5 seconds. Oh, it's cold now. You know, she had come through the dust storm. Before I called her, it was 90 degrees. After I called her, it was 90 degrees. But everything changed in between. She's rolling them windows up. And it started to cool down. I had more for her than she knew was there. But she was fine with only half of what I had set up with her and for her. A running car is better than a non-running car. Amen? Then a life that's out of the toilet is better than a life that's in the toilet. Now, not all of you folks know what I'm talking about, but some of you do. And you can just be so happy to get the stink off. But our Father in heaven says, I am about so much more than just getting the stink off you. I want you to live a life totally and completely outside yourself, that your primary focus every day, day in and day out, would be to glorify my Son. And you live to glorify my Son, I will do anything you ask of me. Because I love my Son. The worship team's going to come up in a moment. You can come up now. We're going to sing a song, Revelation song. A song that glorifies Jesus. Now perhaps you live this week didn't glorify Jesus all that much. Holy Spirit is letting you know right now. Or perhaps that you live next week. And maybe this morning, you don't even know Jesus. The believers in they had had, but had not yet the message of the gospel, and they were transformed. That can happen to you this morning. You can say right now, Lord, I've been holding on to my glory. I've been shooting for my glory, and you know, my glory is falling like the flowers every day, and I'm tired. I'm tired of living in a toilet, Lord. Lord, I'm going to give my life up to you, and I'm going to seek new life in you. You can do that right now, just right where you're sitting. There was a thing that happened in Ephesus that there were believers that were there, and they were baptized in water. We'll baptize you in water on the 29th, and I'll talk with you about that. You want to get baptized in water, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, come and tell me. We'll talk about it, get you baptized and moving on your life with Him. But there was something that happened in Ephesus when Paul laid hands on 12 men and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like in Acts 2 and 8 and 10. They moved ahead in the plan of God. Perhaps you have not received that. Let me ask you those three questions. How far do you want to go with God? And how much can you trust God? And does God want you to seek this? And if the answer to all those questions is, I'm going to press into whatever God has for me. We sing this song. I invite you to just come up, and I want to pray with you.